This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome again to Heart and Soul on Qatar Foundation Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Let us all take a moment to consider where we are with our lives. What are our issues? What is our inner state? Are we locked into an ego-based consciousness? How can we reach into our heart and take out what is painful? And how can we reunite as a human family? We are in a time of upheaval, of violent conflicts and confusion, where a moral or material sense of superiority can lead to social injustice. I'm honoured to welcome back Dr. Mahmoud Chandia. Dr. Chandia will reveal some of the unifying factors in Islamic understanding. He is a senior lecturer and programme leader of Islamic studies at the University of Central Lancashire. Peace be upon you, Sheikh.
Peace be upon you too and upon all your listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I greet you with the traditional greeting of Islam. Thank you very much.
Wa alaikum salam. I've been finding out that Qatar Foundation is really a microcosm for the great, what New Yorkers call the melting pot. People from all around the world of different faiths uniting with a common purpose for education, to find out about how to work together with different personalities and different characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran that He made us into tribes and different peoples, not so that we could war, but that so we could relish, love and enjoy the differences between one another. So let's talk in this quite violent age about the way in which Islam acknowledges previous prophets and scriptures.
Well, Islam is very clear and it distinguishes between the monotheistic people of the book, referred to as the Ahlul Kitab, the Jewish community, the Christian community, and some would argue the Sabian community. And it, on one hand, distinguishes the people of the book, and on the other hand, it distinguishes this particular group from the polytheists. And this particular distinction is very clear within the Quran. It recognizes the prophets, the scriptures of the people of the book. And, of course, it presents its own uncompromising idea of monotheism. Now, part and parcel of that is that the focus is on how one acknowledges the Creator, and it moves away from people. And the idea of people being equal, albeit very diverse, is very much entrenched within the Quran and the prophetic teachings. The Quranic idea and verse that you cited earlier on is from Surah Hujurat, towards the end of the Quran. Now, this idea of looking beyond tribes or any borders or clans or families and actually seeing the value within the human being, value of the human person behind the name or the label, and recognizing from that the beauty of the Creator, whether it's beauty of form, whether it's the form of the human, I mean here, whether people are made differently, look different, speak the same language in a very different accent. All of this is the rainbow of beauty that this human is being invited to consider and reflect upon and recognize from that the beauty of the Creator. So this recognition of difference is basically an education to a much higher learning outcome. And that learning outcome is the beauty of the Creator. So Islam very openly acknowledges previous prophets, previous scriptures. And as far as interaction with any particular human being may be concerned, it is very clear that when human beings are being interacted with, even, for example, your own parents who may not be Muslim, if a child has embraced Islam but the parents are not, Islam is still very clear in advocating that the child must be very respectful of the parent.
You're right.
Irrespective of any particular faith.
Of course, Sheikh. And this is something I've experienced myself. My mother is an ardent news viewer, so it's impossible for her really to have a positive view on my chosen faith, Islam. But we have to treat our parents well wherever they come from. And they have an honour and we must do care for them in every way. I wonder, being ourselves in Islam is something really important, and there is a big change when people accept particularly Islam, because you want to change, revolutionalize your exterior along with your interior. It changes every aspect of your day because, as we've spoken before in the series, you have these five daily prayers, so you're sectioning off your day around your worship to a degree. You're taking these spiritual breaks. And for women, there's a big change in how we dress. I mean, I remember getting rid of everything that I felt was immodest and then being told by my husband, but you can wear them for me. So I thought I had to look the same outside as inside. It really is this massive learning process. I do wonder about whether people listening to this may know about how we live with our own cultures and yet how Islam beautifies what we already have. And I want to talk a little bit about the Abyssinian Hijra, perhaps, Sheikh.
Yes, let's take the point of being ourselves and Islam changes. Islam very much teaches us, be yourself, be natural, be genuine. Sincerity of action, thought, behavior is very much at the center of Islamic teachings. And the whole concept of Islam changing, because the root word of Islam is a four-letter root word that causes peace to spread wherever it goes. The root form of the word iman or faith is that security should be the causal impact. So yes, Islam did bring change. It brings changes to the society, to family, to the individual. The change of attire or clothing for a female, as you cited your personal anecdote, and it's when you go outside, you are a responsible individual to bring peace and security within society, and human behavior to not lapse. And each and every single individual has the responsibility in that, the male and the female. So whereas there is guidance for the female, there is equal guidance at another level for a male. And so the idea of change coming about, change is very much, individual is seen as very much as part and parcel of a change maker or breaker. So when the individual is looked after, the family will be looked after. Society will be looked after. So the idea of notion of change is very correct for you to notice and bring this up, because it's at the center of Islam. Because if the individual does not change with his or her outlook and worldview of bringing peace and security and safety, then society could be a detriment.
Thank you, Sheikh Chandia, for this beautiful guidance. We will be back with more discussion on the beauty of Islam and interfaith cooperation.
Allah made us all a different shade and color. Nations and tribes recognize one another, 'cause every single Muslim is your sister and brother. So many different colors of Islam. Build a world with color painted everywhere you go. Paint everything you see and tell everyone you know. Quran will be your paint and your brush will be Iman. So fill the world with color, every color of Islam. Truth is clear and blue as the sky we walk under. Love is bright and loud as the lightning and thunder. peace as pure and white as the moon, so full of wonder, so many different colors of Islam. Fill the world with color, paint it everywhere you go. Paint everything you see and tell everyone you know. Quran will be your paint and your brush will be Iman. So fill the world with color, every color of Islam. Smiles warm and shining like the sun upon our faces. Hope is rich and green as the trees of an oasis. The colors of Islam bloom in so many places. So many different colors of Islam. Fill the world with color, paint it everywhere you go. Paint everything you see and tell everyone you know. Quran will be your paint and your brush will be Iman. So fill the world with color, every color of Islam. Fill the world with color, paint it everywhere you go. Paint everything you see and tell everyone you know. Quran will be your paint and your brush will be Iman. So fill the world with color, every color of Islam. Fill the world with color, paint it everywhere you go. Paint everything you see and tell everyone you know. Quran will be your paint and your brush will be Iman. So fill the world with color, every color of Islam. Fill the world with color, every color of Islam.
Sharing his gems of knowledge with us today is Dr. Mahmoud Chandia, and we're seeking ways in which faith supports inter-community peace. There is a trip that I'd love to make, Sheikh, inshallah, God willing, to Cordoba in Spain. Not because I want to see artifacts and remnants of something that's past, this wonderful Islamic world that once brought so much beauty and architecture and wonderful spirituality to great swathes of the world. I don't want to see something that's past, but to envision how something beautiful can happen again. And I know you often go to Cordoba, don't you?
Yes, I have been very fortunate to visit Cordoba. I take a group of students as part of their undergraduate studies, and sometimes postgraduate students also join the trip. And it's a very fruitful trip. It's a very personal journey as well. And it is not the destination, as I tell my students, it is not the destination, it's the journey that matters. And this particular journey to Cordoba, of course, Cordoba was at the heart of Andalusian society. And the Muslims were in Spain, as part of the Banu Umayyah, the Umayyad dynasty, between 711 until 1492. Now, the first three centuries of that, there are very good examples of the Abrahamic faith coming together, working on a common ground, respecting differences that they may well have, and working for a common goal. And we see an intellectual output of scientific knowledge, architectural knowledge, irrigation knowledge, and other forms of knowledge which benefited human progress. And that then functions, all of that knowledge functions to provide a platform for the European Renaissance. Mm. And scientific knowledge and advancement. So part of the trip, and I would very wholeheartedly recommend any listener that you have to give it consideration to take a trip to Cordoba, to Granada, to Seville, and just witness and have a look at how people live together. The Mezquita in Cordoba, the Museum of the Three Faiths, the Jewish Quarter, all even today, provide an insight, and the preservation of history of that particular period that the Spanish government have given attention to is remarkable. And particularly the Museum of the Three Faiths, mm-hmm. Right opposite the Mezquita, is testimony of how people work together on knowledge issues, intellectual output, working to provide a good balance between revelation and scientific knowledge, between received revelation and human rational thought. And the debates of those great individuals at that time are even today to be found in many, many texts. So that particular period provides what is commonly referred to as convivencia, a good example of coexistence. how do individuals come together on common ground? You, at the beginning, suggested that Qatar Foundation is a microcosm, the New York, perhaps, of the Middle East. Now, in that situation, the Islamic teaching is that the human being should be an individual that works and strives hard with an unflinching commitment to human welfare, common welfare. And it is this essence that drove the Andalusian communities to come together, work together. And we see the European Renaissance after that, and a lot of the knowledge that today and implements and gadgets that we have today, the original contributions of knowledge, the creation of knowledge, goes back to that particular period.
Sure.
When human beings come together and not separated by labels, borders, ideologies, then the human himself is testimony of what great achievements can be made.
Absolutely beautiful. I'm wondering about this convivencia in the current age when opinion is shouted, when block capitals are used in emails from all sorts of random sources of people wishing to be heard, and everybody seems to be so on edge and angry. How do we nurture with the Islamic faith as our source of knowledge and divine scripture? How do we assist with this new convivencia? How could people at Qatar Foundation, you know, benefit from ideals that come from Islamic knowledge, of ways to debate? You know, it is, you know what it is, Sheikh? I think it's letting go of being right, isn't it?
Well, that is a very important point that you raise, and this is one of the issues that the students are encouraged to think about and contemplate. Is what? How do we bring those lessons of that visit to Cordoba, to Seville, to Granada, to our contemporary times? And one of the paramount lessons that students pick up is how, during that time, the communities were able to embrace difference and not allow egos to run ahead. And embracing difference allowed human beings to progress. They saw the value of the human, the value of that difference, which, if we can go back to the Quranic verse, which is very much the message of the Quranic verse, to see the value of human difference. And each individual has a contribution to make. And that individual's contribution is within the framework of a recognition of a creator. If the recognition of the creator is not governing that framework for progress, then there may well be some challenges ahead. So this is one of the things that tied together Andalusian society: recognition of a creator, a God, recognition of prophets. Nevertheless, in this day and age, as we are understanding and using as a template Qatar Foundation as a microcosm or a New York of the Middle East, we would have to accept that there may well be individuals who do not adhere or subscribe to any particular faith. Nevertheless, the Quran has examples of individuals who weren't people of the book. These individuals were still treated fairly, were still treated as humans, and they were encouraged, explained, teachings of the faith, but there was no compulsion to change a particular faith. There was always the consequences highlighted of not recognizing a creator. So I think embracing of diversity of difference is an important lesson that the legacy of Cordoba provides us in this contemporary age of ours.
Mashallah, once again, Sheikh, we are so grateful by your esteemed presence with us here on Qatar Foundation Radio. We've learned a lot from you today. We ask Allah to count us amongst those who are grateful, who don't make the mistake, who do not have arrogance in our hearts to feel that we're right and force others to feel that they're wrong, but seeking convivencia between humanity. God bless you. May the divine blessings of this month of peace be upon every one of us. And I'll be with you at the same time tomorrow. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.